Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA News. I'm your host, Charlotte Tuggle, filling in this afternoon for Stan Jastrzebski. This week, Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes is our guest. Thank you for being with us. If you have a question for the Frankfort Mayor, you can call in by dialing 765-496-1999. You can also send an email to ask@wbaa.org or tweet your question at WBAA News on Twitter. Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor.
Charlotte, it's always great to be with you.
I certainly hope you had an easier time chipping the ice away from the car this morning. It seems that we have gotten our first real snowfall of the season. Have you been seeing a lot of what we're seeing here in Greater Lafayette over there in the Gym City?
Yes, ma'am. It was very rough this morning. It took me about 15 or 20 minutes to get the layer of ice off my car. But that's okay. We've got a one-car garage at home, and my wife gets that. So as long as she has it easy, that's what matters to me. But this morning, I received my first communication from our street department superintendent probably around 3 o'clock this morning. That's when we started seeing some light precipitation here in Clinton County and Frankfort. That is when we dispatched our street department workers. Was around 3 or 3:30 in the morning. So the men at the street department really hit it hard this morning. The problem was we got some sleet, which then froze, and then we got snow on top of that. So Frankfort Community Schools was closed today. Our guys went back out around 10 a.m. this morning to move that slush off the roads after letting some traffic and salt do some work on the roadways. But it was definitely slick out there, and I encourage people to stay vigilant because this evening when the sun goes down and all of this refreezes, it will definitely be slick again.
So take me through that planning process. I remember the first year I moved up here, it snowed on Halloween, and then we had a couple of milder winters after that. So when do you have to start making sure the city has enough salt to go around and you have enough people to cover the streets when something like this happens? How does that process work for you?
Well, so we always value good communication because we do work hand in hand with our emergency management agency. Daryl Sanders is the chairman of that agency, so we work hand in hand with Daryl and our county commissioners. And so what happens is, in terms of our preparation, we normally bid out our salt order for the year every December. And so we stock up for the next year. We do have a salt barn at the street department, so we usually fill that up. The last couple of years has been fairly mild in comparison to 2012, 2013, and 2014. And so once the precipitation comes in, if we look like we're going to have a big weather event, I always huddle with our county commissioners and our EMA agency in our Emergency Operation Command Center, which is underneath the jail, the basement at the Clinton County Sheriff's Office. We talk about what resources we have, things that we can team up on, and the communication and how that will be laid out during the weather event. When the weather event gets here, we stay in constant communication with one another so we understand what level of advisory, if any, we were going to go with during that weather event. For example, this morning we went to the least severe level that we have, which is a winter weather advisory, just letting people know to be vigilant once they get out on those roadways. My street superintendent and I, Jason Forsyth, are in constant communication, and then our street foreman, Mike Wheeler, is also hitting the streets, so we get real time on what's going on with the roads in Frankfort, and we dispatch extra crews accordingly. The other piece of technology we have in Frankfort, we do have GPS systems on all of our snow trucks, so we actually can see where those trucks have been, and we get real-time feedback on when the actual snow plows are engaged. So I can get online and I can actually look at, okay, here's the last time this particular street has been hit, not only by a truck, but when was that plow engaged, and then also when was the salt spreader engaged, which is a really nice tool so we can step back and look at, okay, these sectors in our city have been hit at these times. We might need to go back and look at this area again, or if I have a concerned citizen call in and say, listen, you know, why hasn't my street gotten taken care of today? I can actually pull up a virtual map and say, all right, here's the last time your street has been salted. Here's the last time that a plow has not only went down your street, but here's when that snow plow is engaged with the salt plow, the snow plow down rather, and here's when it wasn't. So those are nice tools to have that we can approach tackling the winter weather a little more effectively.
Now, the last time I was in Frankfort, I noticed a number of small street repairs going on, especially in the downtown area. Will this weather affect that schedule at all, or was that part of the planning process?
Right now, we're looking pretty good. The only thing that we're crossing our fingers on, we do have a couple of paving jobs that still need to get done in the TPA park, and that is important because we have our big festival of lights coming up. We have a stunning light display in Frankfort that starts the day of Thanksgiving, over 100 different displays, over 1 million Christmas lights. We encourage anyone and everyone from around the area to bring your family over. It's really a spectacular event. And we did have a couple of projects that are to be done by two different contractors that we're really crossing our fingers that they're able to sneak it in with this weather. Obviously, when you're laying asphalt, you do have to have certain temperatures and certain weather windows. Other than those two minor projects, which if we had our druthers, they would get done. So when people drive through our parks, they have nice, smooth surfaces. Other than that, things are looking pretty good right now. All of our cement work around Nickel Plate Flats and our downtown revitalization efforts, all of that is finished, which is very important. So if we can get these couple of smaller jobs done in the TPA park, we'll be looking good. Our other large project this year, the Safe Routes to School project, over 7,000 square feet of new sidewalks in the northwest and southwest areas of our city, all of that work is done as well. So we're thankful that we got that in before this weather got here. You just never know in Indiana.
And I'd imagine that you'd like to get the bulk of those projects done ahead of the Thanksgiving holiday, of course, one of the busiest travel holidays. Is there anything extra you have to do around this time of the year to kind of adjust to that holiday rush?
So a couple large road projects that we have coming up is Phase 1 and Phase 2 of Washington Avenue. For people that are familiar with Frankfort, running out to what the locals refer to as Michigan Town Blacktop, once you get inside the city limits, Washington Avenue from Hoke Avenue all the way down to Washington Street in our downtown where Washington Avenue intersects into our downtown, all of that road will be completely tore up. New utilities, new travel lanes, new multi-purpose trail for bikers to use, new sidewalk on the north side of that roadway. That project is getting ready to start Phase 1, and so we will be starting that up after the Thanksgiving holiday because we understand that people are going to be traversing the city a lot next week going from point A to point B, so we don't want that to interrupt their travel. So there should be nothing major next week that people should run into, and everyone should have a smooth trip around the city as they're going to visit family and loved ones.
Speaking of roads, I wanted to talk about the Community Crossings Grant. The Clinton County Highway Department was awarded some funding for two special projects, and of course, it being a smaller community, the match from the state is actually higher. Those projects are completing the blacktop on West Manson-Colfax Road and work on the streets in Forest Township. Now, the state covered 75% of the project, so the county only has to pay equal to just under $300,000, it looks like. So can you talk about how important programs like these are when it comes to road projects, especially because they tend to have such a big bill attached to them?
Yeah, so great question, Charlotte. So in the city of Frankfort specifically, and I do applaud our county officials for bringing in those grant dollars that you just spoke to, the city of Frankfort, we received just over $450,000 from the Community Crossings matching grant. So we'll be doing some 15 to 20 projects, depending on how bids come back. And our population, our size of city, it's a dollar-to-dollar match. So we'll be able to accomplish just over $920,000 of paving in the 2019 calendar year. And it's so important for cities of our size because infrastructure, specifically street infrastructure, is really top on everyone's mind. For neighborhood revitalization, for economic development efforts, people want good roads. It's the way you welcome people to the community, it shows the strength of the community, and it adds to the quality of place of the community. All the freezing and thawing that the state of Indiana gets with the weather that we have, it just simply takes a toll on our roads. And in a city like Frankfort, effort with all of the industrial traffic that we have in our industrial park, all the commerce that's happening on a daily basis, it's a big chore to keep up our roads. I think we have right around 65 center lane miles of roadway in our city. And unfortunately, when I came into office, just thereafter, we conducted a pavement asset management plan. And we found that close to 60 to 70% of our roadways on the PASER scale were actually graded a 2 out of a 0 to 10 scale, which told us at the time we needed to do a lot of work. So we've really made it a point in our capital improvement plans and our budgeting process with the city council to budget as much money as possible for our roadways, not only because it's needed, but also because that's what we hear from our citizens. That's probably the top complaint and concern that I hear from citizens are just the roadways in neighborhoods. So programs like this, allowing us to compete for these dollars to double our capacity, to pave more roads, to fix more streets in our neighborhoods every single year, it's really a big deal. So in the past couple of years alone, we'll have put $2 to $3 million in our roadways just in paving. That doesn't include our federal highway projects like Washington Avenue, which phase one alone is a $3.2 million fix to that roadway. So with programs like this, with federal highway dollars, with programs like the Holcomb administration is championing and our state legislature, such as the Community Crossings Matching Grant, it helps out rural communities. It's good for us. It's good for citizens. It's really a win-win, and it adds to the strength and viability of our community.
So speaking to the state of roads in Frankfort right now, do you feel like you mentioned that number that, you know, many of them are a 2 out of 10 or were in the scale of, you know, how good they are, how paved or recently paved they have been. Do you feel like now we are moving toward a place in Frankfort where this becomes lower on kind of the list of things we need to fix? Where are we at now as compared to, say, 5 years ago?
Well, the great thing about where we are now is, you know, and I always kind of relate it back to the health world, I feel like we have our streets, we're out of the ICU, we're off life support, we're in stable condition. It's something that, you know, we're keeping an eye on, and we, with this pavement asset management plan, the beautiful thing about it is, just like our capital improvement plan in regards to the financial state of the city, we can keep a constant eye on things, and you have to continuously plan forward, because if you become complacent, then the roads are just going to revert back to how they used to be. So with this pavement asset management plan, we can get our roads on a good rotation of maintenance. And so what I'm pushing our vision in regards to our streets is now not just looking at the mill and fill, taking 2 inches off and putting 2 new inches on a fresh asphalt, but looking at preventative maintenance techniques such as crack sealing, fog sealing, utilizing new scientific technology that we can put down on our roadways to keep them better longer. And those types of preventative maintenance techniques actually cost much less than a mill and fill or a complete resurface of that roadway. So those are the kind of things, now that we have our roads to a state of stability, now we can look at implementing these more cost-effective preventative maintenance techniques that are going to preserve our roads for a longer period of time. But just like our finances, we have 5 and 10 year plans for our roadways that we put our roads on a rotation. We keep a good diligent eye on these roadways so that as we move forward into the future, they become not only become stronger, but it costs less money to maintain them on an annual basis.
You're listening to Ask the Mayor on WBAA News. I'm Charlotte Tuggle. You can call in your questions for Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes by dialing 765-496-1999. You can also send an email to ask@wbaa.org. I want to switch gears now from what the city has received to what the city is doling out. 3 local nonprofit organizations recently received funding from the City Council. Now, I want to start with the Paul Philippe Resource Center and Healthy Communities of Clinton County Coalition. Can you tell us about those organizations?
Yeah, so what was going on was, on an annual basis, we'd have great not-for-profit organizations come to the council halfway through the year, three-quarters of the way through the year, and make asks. And they were all great asks, but we were kind of fumbling because we didn't have a good way to plan for these requests, because all of our financials, they revolve around a plan, and we make this plan and we stick to it, and that's how we build our cash reserves, that's how we maintain balanced budgets, that's how we fund our departments and give benefits to our employees. So what we decided to do was to be proactive and plan ahead and be good stewards of the taxpayers' money. The city council set up a not-for-profit discretionary fund in our annual budget. So for next year, for example, the council put a line item in their city council budget that was $30,000, and they created a process by which not-for-profits could turn in applications to receive this funding, which we deem as grant funding. And so now we have an organized mechanism for the NPOs in our community to apply for these funds, and it's also good for the city council in our administration, because we can plan for a certain amount of money going out every year. So that's the process we set up. These two organizations, we'll start with the Paul Philippi Resource Center. Don Layton, Cindy Oram, the entire crew down at the Resource Center are absolutely fantastic. This is a senior resource center in our community that helps our senior citizens out with a lot of different things. They also have a lot of great social activities. But one of the best parts about the center is they offer public transportation to the citizens in Frankfort and in Clinton County. If a senior citizen needs a ride, if a school student needs a ride to school one day, if an individual needs a ride to a doctor's appointment, if you need to go shopping to pick up some essentials for your home, you can coordinate rides through the local Paul Philippi Resource Center. So their ask was for $20,000, and it was to help start replacing some of the vehicles that they use for public transportation. And this was a good ask because it's actually going to be used as matching funds for a grant that they will be applying for. So hopefully they'll be able to take the money that the city council granted to them and essentially double it so they can buy a nicer vehicle to help with these public transportation initiatives, which we absolutely love and adore, and they're doing a great job. So that was the first request, and that was approved. The Healthy Communities Coalition of Clinton County, they work on a broad array of initiatives in regards to physical health, mental health, substance abuse, smoking cessation, prenatal health for women in the community that are with child, helping them prepare for birth, and then also helping them after they bring that newborn home. They also help a lot with substance abuse in regards to the addiction crisis, the opioid epidemic that's occurring in society. So their ask for $10,000 next year is to help fund those initiatives and to specifically bring on a grant writer to the Healthy Communities Clinton County Coalition staff so that we can find more resources to help combat both physical well-being issues in the community and mental health issues in the community. So these were just two absolute home runs. Another group that came forward and was granted funding was our Boys and Girls Club of Clinton County, which their main building here in Frankfort is located on the northwest side of the city. They requested funds for an after-school tutoring program to help at-risk youth that need a place to come and get help with those subjects that they're struggling with and be surrounded by good, positive mentors. So all good organizations and things that were worthy of funding.
I'm glad you mentioned the public transportation aspect of it, because I've heard a lot of how that is a problem in smaller cities and rural communities, is actually getting people to their doctor's appointments. And just looking back on the conversations we've had, I know you've had a big emphasis on health services in Frankfort. So tell us a little bit about how nonprofits play into the larger picture of health in Frankfort.
They play a huge part of that picture. You know, being a smaller community, not having as many resources as larger communities, means that we have to become very efficient and very effective with the resources that we have. And it's very much a team atmosphere. Everyone plays a role in helping make Frankfort a better place. and combat these issues, such as mental well-being, physical well-being, transportation from A to B. Not being a larger community, we do not have a large public transit system. So, for example, this not-for-profit in the PR Resource Center offering this public transportation is huge, whether it be helping someone get to work or helping someone get to dialysis or helping someone get to a counseling session or helping a young student get to school that may live a little farther away from school but is in that mile walk zone that our school system has. It's just a win-win. And so as a local government, I do think we have a responsibility to strategically help these organizations that do play a part into the bigger picture. And then you look at the Healthy Communities Coalition and you look at the efforts that we're trying to put forward in combating the substance abuse and addiction issues that our society has. Obviously, our police force is doing a great job right now. We are marching up the rankings of being one of the safest cities in Indiana, but it can't only be enforcement. It has to be treatment and prevention. So having an MPO like Healthy Communities that's focusing on those two legs of the tripod, helping the treatment of those that are addicted to substances and prevention, getting into our schools, talking to our youth about the dangers of drugs, keeping families away from that, and families who are enthralled in it, helping them know, okay, here's the steps I need to take to get healthy, to get whole again. I can't overstate the importance of that. It's a team atmosphere. We all work together, and I applaud these individuals. A lot of them are volunteers. They're doing it out of the goodness of their heart, and I know I'm a little biased, but I think that's what makes Frankfort and the Gem City so special. We have organizations like this. Everyone does their part, and it's all for the greater good.
You're listening to Ask the Mayor on WBAA News. We've got about 10 more minutes with Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes. Still enough time to call in your questions, 765-496-1999. You can also send an email to ask@wbaa.org. I wanted to talk about Veterans Day with you because, of course, we just had that holiday. And I noticed that there were a number of veteran-centric events in Frankfort. So give us an idea of what Veterans Day means to the community over there in the Gem City.
It's so special. It's one of the best days of the entire year, if you ask me. Everything we do, me getting to come on this radio show, getting to partake in this amazing opportunity I have to serve my community, it's all because of our veterans, and it's all because of our active military personnel and their families. You know, I don't want to overstate what their families do for this country, because they're the ones that have to stay at home when the men and women go overseas to protect this country and to protect our democracy. And I think one thing that makes the Midwest really special is it seems like a lot of rural communities really take time to take pride in that and celebrate what makes us who we are. And I think in this day and age of Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, it seems as though there's so much divisiveness and so much bitterness and so much incorrect information shared that it's good that we all get together and celebrate what is good and what is whole and what is hopeful and what is excellent about our society, and that really is our veterans. And if anyone out there ever gets a chance, I do encourage you, whether it be on Memorial Day or Veterans Day, come up to Veterans Park in downtown Frankfort. Mel Betts, Joe Root, our county Veterans Affairs officer, they always do an excellent job bringing together the American Legion, the Veterans of Foreign War organization here in the community, the Marine Corps League led by Doug Montgomery, and we all get together and celebrate our veterans. We have a 21-gun salute. Taps has always played at 11 a.m. We always have our high school band downtown playing the various medleys from the various branches of the armed services, and then we always have a speaker. This past week, we had Sergeant Holy Cross from our local National Guard unit that came and spoke on behalf of veterans and gave a history of the Army. And it was just fantastic. It roots you, and it gives you a lot of pride to be from this country, and especially Frankfort. We do hold our veterans up. And personally, I think our veterans, once you give service to our country like that, you should never have to want for anything again. I'm a big believer in that. I'm a big believer that our entitlement programs should put our veterans at the top. They should be the ones in regards to schooling and healthcare, social services. They should get it. They should get it first, and they and their families should not have to want for anything. And I know I talk to a lot of veterans nowadays, and that's not always the case. So I think we as a society and as a community need to figure out how to do better at that. And, you know, then I get on Facebook when I get home, Charlotte, and I see that our local high school band, led by band director Jason Hutton, they were going around to various veterans' homes, those that had served, it looked like, in the Vietnam War, and were going to their doorsteps playing the various medleys of the armed forces that they served in. And, you know, how special is that? How cool is that, that we have high school students on a chilly day going door to door in Frankfort for these various heroes, just showing them how much we care. It almost brings me to tears. It makes me so happy that we have teachers like Jason Hutton that are showing our youth the importance of our veterans and what they've done for our community. So obviously, again, I'm a little biased, but I do think our community does a great job lifting up our veterans, and I invite everyone downtown. We have a wonderful Veterans War Memorial on the south side of the square, thanks to our Veterans Affairs Director, Joe Root. Our programs are great, but it's something that we shouldn't only celebrate one or two days a year. Our veterans should be celebrated 365 days a year. So all those out there that have served in our armed forces, we salute you, we thank you, and we'll never be able to fully repay you for the debt that obviously you have given to this country.
We've got just a few minutes left with Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes. I wanted to talk about the Frankfort Community Public Library's annual fine art exhibition. Close to 90 regional and local artists showed up for the event. It seems to always be a big pull, and it's maybe not something you'd expect from a community like Frankfort, especially if you haven't seen the public library there. There seems to be, I mean, ample resources given to the arts in Frankfort. Talk about where this movement is kind of coming from to put Frankfort on the Indiana art map, if you will.
Well, we do try to celebrate the arts and culture here in the community, whether it be the Red Barn Theater or our civic programs at the public library. We have a lot of music and entertainment. Obviously, when Prairie Creek Park gets opened up next summer in downtown Frankfort, we're going to have a lot of great live entertainment there. We value the arts from a cultural perspective. And our public library is a nationally award-winning library. And so I encourage you all to come and visit that. That's on Clinton Street in downtown Frankfort. Come and check it out. My wife serves on the public art committee to put on this show every year. I'm very proud of her. I know how much work goes into it because she goes to those monthly meetings and comes home and talks about the art show all the time. It's a point of pride for our community, and it also gets to show off the talent in our local community. We have a ton of talent here, whether it be photographers or sculptors or painters. Individuals that draw and paint beautiful pictures. I encourage individuals to come up and visit the art show, and it's a wonderful fundraiser for our local library on an annual basis, and it's just a wonderful cultural event. The ladies all do a pitch-in, so there's great food there. So not only can you go around and look at great art from both local and regional artists at a nationally award-winning library, but you also get to enjoy some wonderful food and wonderful laughter and conversations.
That's our time for today. Thank you so much, Mayor McBarnes. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Charlotte, congratulations to you. All the best, and I hope to see everyone on the streets of Frankfort very soon, just when it gets a little bit warmer, though.
All right, that's our time for today. You can find this program online at our website, WBAA.org, as well as the rest of our shows. Have a great rest of your day.
Support for WBAA comes from your membership and Encompass Credit Union, supporting Ask the Mayor and offering a full line of financial services to the people of Clinton and Tipton counties while supporting the communities they serve. More information at EncompassCU.org.